Ramsey TV.
1 Corinthians 7:11. A husband is not to leave his wife. Why, that's archaic instruction from Paul here in the dinosaur days of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which according to some people doesn't apply to us anymore. Imagine that. A husband is not to leave his wife. Forget that. We're living in the new era of Ephesians. So now, leave your wife at will. No longer a problem. Welcome, everyone. This is Martin Zender finishing up the week here. I'm going to give you some great translation issues here. I'm going to show you how the King James Version contradicts itself. What a surprise, translating the same Greek word so many different ways, causing great confusion, forcing people to misinterpret the scriptures. But we don't do that here. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZ TV. Don't forget, there is a conference coming up at the end of May, May 31st, then June 1st and June 2nd. Chris Johnston, the organizer, wanted me to remind you that the deadline for registering has been moved out, which is good. Good for a guy like me, because I haven't even registered yet. The new deadline is May 10th. But don't procrastinate as much as I do. May 10th, it's coming up. Go to martinzender.com and you'll see on my homepage, on the front page there, you'll see a little, I think it's a yellow strip there that talks about conference information. You will get all the information you could ever use on the upcoming conference in Georgia. So I hope to see you there. I'll be talking more about that in the time to come here. So, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, you know, Paul says concerning the evangel, this necessity is lying upon me. A necessity. It was necessary for Paul to preach the evangel. And the weird thing is, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, the King James also translates that necessity. This is the Greek word ananoke. Ananoke. I think I went to high school with her. Ananoke. Yeah, she sat behind me in algebra class. Who was that? We had a nun in algebra class. Sister Mary Margaret Stevens. Yeah, that was her name. Not even joking. Ananoke. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, they translate it necessity. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. And the Concordant translates it the same way. And yet, the same word appearing in 1 Corinthians 7:26, speaking of the present necessity, and I gave you my thoughts on that yesterday, I'm going to reiterate that. They translate it the present distress. Because of the present distress, Paul says, I would prefer people not to get married. It is ideal not to be married. It is ideal to be on your own. It is ideal even for a man not to touch a woman. And again, but if you have to do it, then okay, do it. You don't sin if you get a wife. But to translate that, the present distress. Again, you cannot substitute the word distress in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Let's try it in the King James Version. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for distress is laid upon me. Now, Paul did go through distresses, but it was the necessity of doing it. It was the compulsion. He had to do it. So clearly, that's the translation. But listen to this. In one place, and I really like this translation. I mean, it's a shame on the King James gang for translating this word so many different ways. Ananoke. In one place, they translated it must needs. Must needs. Where was that? I'm glad you asked. John 4:3. Speaking of our Lord, and he must needs go through Samaria. Must needs. I would be happy if must needs Although that's archaic King James language. I would be happy for that to be the translation across the board for this word. Anoke. I looked at all the places in the Greek scriptures where that word occurs, and must needs fits it perfectly. Let's put it in to the Concordant version in 1 Corinthians 7, 26. I am inferring then this ideal to be inherent. That is the ideal to be single. I'm going to get into that more. I'm inferring this ideal to be inherent because of the present must needs for this ideal for humanity to be this. The present must needs. What is the present must need considering the context here? Well, it's a three-letter word that starts with S and ends in X. Would you like to buy a vowel? The entire context here is sex and must needs. Fits perfectly. It is so powerful, this must needs, that Paul finds only really two ideal courses. That is to stay away completely, and that's what he's recommending here, or to be married. Then you will avoid the must needs, because the must needs tends to lead to trouble, and Paul's going to get to that here. You remember I quoted the Something About Mary movie. Well, I didn't quote it, I referenced it. Ben Stiller's friend, his name was Dom in the movie. I remember that after I made that video. Says, you can't go out there with a loaded gun. In other words, you have to take that sexual tension away or you put yourself at the will of the female gender. You put yourself vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable because men tend to do anything when they're under the influence of the must need. I reference King Herod, who in an incredible moment of must need promised to give anything up to half of his kingdom to the woman who danced for him. I mean, this guy was intoxicated to the max. Paul realizes that's a problem, and it's a universal problem, and it's a problem that fits in 1 Corinthians 7, it fits in Ephesians, and it fits now. So, to go back and give you the context again, each one in the calling in which he was called, let him be remaining. Were you called a slave, let it not be causing you care, but if you are able to become free also, use it rather. Verse 24, each one in what he was called, brethren, in this let him remain with God. Now concerning the celibates or virgins, I have no injunction of the Lord, yet an opinion am I giving as one who has enjoyed mercy by the Lord to be faithful. The mercy Paul enjoyed was that the must needs were not upon him. He was miraculously delivered from that. And I'm not saying he was gay, because homosexual people also have the must needs. They just have it for the same sex. Verse 26, I am inferring then this ideal, that is to be as Paul was, to be inherent because of the present must needs, for it is ideal for humanity to be thus. Wait, let's go on. And I'm going to get down to the famous verse 29, that the era is limited. Verse 27, you are bound to a wife, do not seek to be loosed. Because if you're loosed, bad things can happen. Because of the must needs. You have been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. Unless because of the must needs, you need a safe outlet. Really, this sounds terrible, but Paul is presenting marriage as a safe outlet for the must needs. And the only thing better than having a safe outlet for the must needs is to not must need the must needs at all. And that was Paul's gift, but he knows it wasn't everyone's gift. In fact, he was a rare bird that way. So, verse 27, you are bound to a wife, do not seek to be loosed. You have been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. Verse 28, listen to this. Haven't touched on this one yet. Yet if ever you should be marrying, also you did not sin. And if the virgin should be marrying, he's speaking now to the celibates and the virgins. He said, it'd be great if you could stay celibate or stay a virgin. But if not, if ever you should be marrying, speaking to either gender, you did not sin. If the virgin should be marrying, she did not sin. Yet affliction in the flesh will such be having. Yet I am sparing you. Let me ask you married folks out there. When you got married, I know it's a grand institution and it's a blessed state, but in your opinion, is it a timeless fact that married people will have afflictions that single people do not have? Are we to believe that this is exclusive to an era which was supposedly filled with Romans crawling around ready to knock on your door? No, Paul is saying affliction in the flesh will such be having. I am sparing you. Paul's trying to save you a lot of trouble and a lot of money and a lot of heartache. Don't get married, for God's sake. I'm trying to spare you, Paul says. Listen to me. If you can handle it, stay single. Now, if you're married, stay that way. Ignore verse 28, Paul is saying, even though he didn't know it was verse 28. You know, ignore that. You're going to have afflictions in the flesh. I'm not telling you anything, Paul would say to the married. I'm not telling you anything. Because you know that if you're married, you will have afflictions in the flesh. This is timeless. Paul says, yet I'm sparing you. And if I can go down to verse 32, I'm going to eventually get there, but I want to go there now because it's related. I want you to be without worry. Let me ask you this, you folks who are married. Do you have more worries when you're married or less worries? Do you have more trouble or less trouble? And yet, why is everybody getting married? Are they nuts? Are they crazy? It's the must needs. I must needs go to Samaria. I must needs have a wife. I must needs have a husband. So you can't help it. It's almost crazy to get into a relationship, a man with a woman or a woman with a man or a homosexual relationship for that matter, because anytime you take two people and put them together, especially one who's from Venus and one who's from Mars, you're going to have affliction and worry. And this is timeless. And yet we do it because of the must needs. That's why we do it. We need the companionship. We need the touch. Ever since we were babies, we needed to be held, we needed to be loved, we needed to be affirmed. And there's just too many illicit avenues in which you can get these things. And so the safest way to get it is in a marriage. This is what Paul is saying. This is the whole context. The whole context. The present necessity. Again, starts three letter words, starts with S, ends in X. You can buy your own vow. I want you to be without worry, Paul says in verse 32. The unmarried one is solicitous about the things of the Lord, how he should be pleasing the Lord. Yet he who marries is solicitous about the things of the world, how he should be pleasing his wife, and is parted. Is this timeless truth or not? Of course it is. Yet we're told by Clyde Pilkington and others who relegate this passage to a bygone era, and say that now Paul in Ephesians is encouraging people to get married. He's not. I'm going to show you that next week. He's not encouraging anyone to be married. He's just giving advice to those who happen to be married. He's also giving advice to slaves. Are we then to be promoting slavery? So many inconsistencies. So many verses these people leave out. They cherry pick them in order to promote their scripture view, their worldview, that family life is the epitome of a spiritual walk. It is so not true, and it is so condemning. It is so belittling of those who don't have a relationship, who aren't married, And these people already feel bad enough. Their friends are all gallivanting around with their husband or their wife and their kids. And people with kids, they almost mock couples who are childless. When are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? Hey, maybe we don't want to have a baby. Maybe we don't want any more worries than we have. And the single person, maybe this person wants to be single. God bless him. There are trials associated with being single, of course. Bitter trials. Being alone sucks. Most people, again, can't handle it because of the must need. Paul says, I want you to be without worry. The unmarried one is solicitous about the things of the Lord, unless they're on fire. Folks, if you're single, Paul's really thinking the best of people here, but if you're single and if you're on fire to be married, then even as a single person, you can't be undistracted from the Lord because you're constantly obsessed with being with someone. I had this problem myself. Oh, I'm single. I can be undistracted for the Lord. But I wasn't, because I was obsessing about, I got to be with somebody. I need companionship. And so you would think that the single life would be one of pleasing the Lord and being undistracted. But I was more distracted. I am more distracted when there's not a woman in my life than when there is. When there is a woman in my life, I'm more settled. I work better. When I'm not with a woman, I still work, because I've proven that over 31 years. With a woman, without a woman, with a woman, without a woman. It's consistent. Work, 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 work. But the common denominator, well, that's the common denominator, but the difference is I'm so distracted when I'm not with someone that the work does suffer. But there is some advantage to the angst. I've made some of my best videos being depressed. And some people would say, Martin, we want to keep you depressed. Martin, if you're ever happy, you're going to ruin it for us. We need you to be pissed off at the world. We need you to have this angst. You produce your best work in the dark, in the car, smoking a cigarette, drinking alcohol. Don't ever get happy, Martin, please. You'll ruin it for us. I hear what you're saying. Oh, by the way, a gentleman volunteered to get some new headphones for me today, and I think I'm going to take him up on that, because I keep doing this because I keep losing this sound. Okay. And I don't know why I had those audio dropouts yesterday. It's very distressing to me. I'm watching my video, and all of a sudden, gosh, what's going on here? I don't know. Okay. I'm sparing you, Paul says. I want you to be without worry, Paul says. The unmarried woman as well as the virgin. The unmarried one is solicitous about the things of the Lord, ideally. Paul's thinking the best of people here, that she may be holy in body as well as in spirit. Yet she who marries is solicitous about the things of the world, how she should be pleased. That was the alcohol talking. How she should be pleasing her husband. And that's true. And Paul's not condemning anybody for that. Of course, you have to think about your wife, how to please your wife or how to please your husband. But the irony with me is I'm less distracted. In other words, I'm more concentrated on the Lord when I have a woman in my life. It's weird. That's just me. Everybody's different. If this is advice that applies only to the first century, that is, Paul wants the believers to be undistracted for the Lord, then are we to say that now, in this new era, Paul wants people to be distracted? Well, that was old advice. 1 Corinthians 7, oh, back in the Triceratops days, yeah. Back in the days when there was the present distress, I wanted people to be undistracted for the Lord. But now that distress is no longer here, we got 1,000 times more distresses today than they ever had in the first century. I don't care how many Romans were knocking at their door. So are we to suppose that today Paul would say, all right, it's a new game in town. I want you men to just grab on your wives and just make them your all. Women, I want you to make your husband your everything. I want you to use the world and use it up. I want you to buy things and retain them, grab onto them, hold onto them as tightly as you can. And I want everybody, listen to me, says Paul, I want everybody to be distracted. You understand me? My goal, my wish for all of you is to be distracted for the Lord. That's the new order of the day. That's the new order for the new order. Distraction. And, of course, now nobody will be burdened or worried or afflicted in marriage. Now, in the day which I prophesied would be full of troubles, when perilous periods will be present, now everybody's going to have a smooth ride. It's going to be smooth sailing for everybody. This interpretation is a cartoon. It's a comedy routine. I can make a comedy routine of this. In fact, I don't think I'm doing too bad of a job at it now. Verse 35. Now this I'm saying for your own expedience. For your own expedience. Do I have to say it again? I will. This is timeless advice. Not that I should be casting a noose over you. Paul says, I'm not trying to make anybody suffer. I'm not trying to make anybody suffer being single. Like they just have to really control themselves all the time. And like, I don't need the must-needs. I don't need the must-needs. I don't need the must-needs. Paul says, I don't. If you're like that, for God's sake, dive into the must-needs, okay? I'm not trying to put a noose over anybody. But for that which is respectable and assiduous, to be undistractedly for the Lord. And Paul was. He was undistracted for the Lord. He was a rare bird, I'm telling you. All right, so let's go back now to the key verse, verse 28. No, verse 29. Now this I am averring, brethren. Paul said this. Let me give you the immediate context, verse 28. No. Just go to verse 27. You are bound to a wife, do not seek to be loosed. You have been loosed from a wife, do not seek a wife. Yet if you ever should be marrying also, you did not sin. And if the virgin should be marrying, she did not sin. Yet affliction in the flesh will such be having. Timeless. Am I wrong? No. I am sparing you. Verse 29, this I am averring, brethren, the era is limited. That furthermore, those also having wives maybe is not having them, and those lamenting is not lamenting. This is the only verse Clyde Pilkington quotes from this whole passage, verse 29. And he says, obviously this belongs to a bygone era, because Paul is saying that those having wives may be as not having them. No, this is a unique way to be married and to still be undistracted for the Lord. If you have a wife, be as though you don't have one. And how many times have I used this phrase, holding loosely? Because married people might think, oh my gosh, I can't be undistracted for the Lord. Paul says, I'm going to be worrying, I'm going to be parted, and so I'm doomed. No, Paul's saying there's another option. If you're married, he gives you another option. This is fantastic. The option is, yet those having wives be as not having them. And so, woohoo, I can be married and not married at the same time, in a way. Because I can not make my spouse my everything. And this goes both ways. And this is the part Mr. Pilkington never gets to. And those lamenting is not lamenting. And those rejoicing is not rejoicing. Those buying is not retaining. Basically, Paul's saying you can be in the world, but don't use the world. You can buy things at Walmart, but don't grab onto them like they're your most precious possessions. those using this world is not using it up, for the fashion of this world is passing by. It is passing by right now as we're speaking. Okay, the era is limited. Do you know what the King James says here? And this is what Clyde quotes. The King James says, the time is short. Yes, the King James, 1 Corinthians 7:29, the time is short. And that's what Clyde quotes. Even though he knows that's not the best translation. The era is limited. What a big difference between limited and short. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. I have the answer. Limited. Translated in the King James Version, short. Could there be any more disparate definitions than that? Limited, short. It's the Greek word sunstelo. The elements of this word, it's a two-part Greek word. The elements are together put. Together put. It's like, what in the world? Oh, what in the world? Why do you hear this? There's only one other place in the scripture this word occurs, and it is in Acts chapter 5, verse 6. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure you are, but you've been waiting all week for this. Acts chapter 5 and verse 6. You remember old Ananias and Sapphira? They embezzled from the apostles. I wouldn't recommend embezzling from the apostles, okay? I wouldn't recommend trying to withhold money from Peter. You know the story. They held back money. A certain man named Ananias, together with Sapphira, his wife, sells an acquisition and embezzles from the price, keeps some of it for himself by stealth. His wife also having been conscious of it and bringing a certain part, not the whole part, he brings it at the feet of the apostles. Now Peter said, Ananias, wherefore does Satan fill your heart to falsify to the Holy Spirit and to embezzle from the price of the freehold? Did it not, while remaining, remain yours, and being disposed of, it belonged to you by right? Why is it that you place this matter in your heart? You do not lie to men, but to God. Now, Ananias, hearing these words, falling down, gives up the soul. He dies on the spot. And great fear came on all those hearing these things. Now, rising, the younger men enshroud him. And carrying him out, they entomb him. Now, let's go on here, talk about Sapphira. But I'm going to go back to this word, enshroud. Verse 7, now it occurred after an interval of about 3 hours that his wife, not being aware of what has occurred, entered. Now Peter answered her, tell me if you took so much pay for the freehold. Ooh, Peter's putting the screws to her, turning the light bulb on over her head. Now she said, yes, so much. Now Peter said to her, why is it that you agreed to try the Spirit of the Lord? Kept some of the money for yourself, eh? That was me. I added that part. Lo, the feet of those who entomb your husband are at the door. What a nice way of saying, you're about to kick the bucket. Lo, the feet of those who entomb your husband. Oh, that's right. You don't know about that. Oh, your husband's now dead. The feet of those who entomb your husband are at the door, and they shall be carrying you out. Now, instantly she falls at his feet and gives up the soul. This was miraculous stuff happening. This is when the kingdom was still being, experimented with. The apostles were still filled with hope, and there was some kingdom power operating at this time. Even though the way had already been completely open for the Gentiles at the rending of the veil at our Lord's death. But listen to this. Now, concerning Ananias, let's go back to verse 5. I'm in Acts chapter 5. Ananias, hearing these words, falling down, gives up the soul, and great fear came on all those hearing these things. Now, rising, the younger men enshroud him. This is the same Greek word, sunstelo, and the era is limited. Say, what in the world? What in the world does that have to do with somebody being enshrouded? Together put, they enshrouded a corpse. They wrapped the corpse in cloth to put together the limbs so that when they carried the corpse to the tomb, the arms and legs would not be flopping around, which would be quite unsightly and inconvenient, very hard to carry. What you together put, you enshroud, you sunstelo that corpse. And that is the word used by Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The era is limited. The era is being wrapped up. The loose ends are being tied. Yes, even now, this is timeless. This did not simply apply then. It applies today. It applies in Ephesians. And you might say, well, Zender, how could that possibly be? We don't see things being wrapped up. I don't care if you see them or not. Paul said the era is being wrapped up, even as we speak. In this very letter, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:6, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. Where? I don't see them being discarded. I see the chiefs of this eon prospering, getting richer, getting more famous. No, you have to believe the truth. They are being discarded, even though it doesn't look like it. We're in the era where these things are passing away. And even though they've been passing away, and this era has been being wrapped up, the loose ends being tied together, it is an ongoing thing. But that is the present reality. It was true in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's true in Ephesians. Time is short. How dare the King James people put short? How do you put short in, and they short him? Now, rising of the younger men short him. Ananias, carrying him out, they entomb him. They short him. What the hell does short have to do with anything? Nothing. They enshroud him. They wrap him up. That's what this should have been translated in both places. The younger men wrapped him up and carried him out. That's what this should have been translated. And the time is being wrapped up. That's the way it should have been translated in 1 Corinthians 7:29. The era is being wrapped up. I'm ashamed of the Concordant version here. Limited and enshroud. Make it wrapped up. Because that's what the freaking word means anyway. Sunstello. Together. Put it together. It's being put together. Tied together. It's being complete. It's being wrapped up. That's the best way I can say it. Things are wrapping up. You might not see it right now, but Paul's promising us things are being wrapped up. He's promising us in 1 Corinthians 2:6 that the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. This is a matter, ladies and gentlemen, this is a matter not only of truth, but certainly of faith.